Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the words of John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. He lived from 1725 to 1807. This little book called Out of the Depths, which was his autobiography, has been updated for today's readers by Dennis Hillman, but is essentially what John Newton said. We're in chapter 10 now, called Adventures as a Slave Dealer. Imagine a number of ships at different times and from different places heading for the same port. There are some things in which all would agree: the compass direction to steer by, the destination, the general rules of navigation. These would be the same for all. In other respects, they would differ. Perhaps no two of them would meet with the same distribution of winds and weather. Some would set out with a favorable wind, but when they almost think their passage secure, they're checked by adverse winds. After enduring much hardship, danger, and frequent expectations of shipwreck, they barely escape and reach the desired haven. Well, others meet the greatest difficulties at first. They set forth in a storm and are often beaten back. At length, their voyage proves favorable, and they enter the port with a rich and abundant success. Some are attacked by privateers and enemies and obliged to fight their way through. Others meet with few remarkable events in their passage. Is it not the same in the spiritual life? All true believers walk by the same rule. They mind the same things. The Word of God is their compass. Jesus is both their polar star and their sun of righteousness, and their hearts and their faces are all set Zionward. They are as one body, animated by one spirit, and yet their experiences, formed upon these common principles, are far from being uniform. The Lord, in His first call and His following providential actions, regards the situation, temperament, and talents of each, and the particular services or trials He has appointed for them. All are tested at times, and yet some pass through the voyage of life much more smoothly than others. But he who walketh upon the wings of the wind and measures the water in the hollow of his hand will not allow any in his charge to perish in the storms, although for a season, perhaps, many of them are ready to give up hope. We must not, therefore, make the experience of others in all respects a rule to ourselves, nor our own a rule to others. These are common mistakes that spawn other mistakes as well. My case has been extraordinary. I've hardly met another case resembling it. Only a very few have been recovered from such a dreadful state. The few that have been thus favored have generally passed through the most severe convictions. After the Lord has given them peace, their future lives have been usually more zealous, bright, and exemplary than is common. On the one hand, my convictions were very moderate and far below what might have been expected. On the other hand, my first beginnings in a religious path were as faint as can be imagined. I never knew that season alluded to in Scripture, usually called the time of the first love. It is to be expected that after such a wonderful, unhoped-for deliverance as I had received, and after my eyes were somewhat enlightened to see things aright, I should immediately cleave to the Lord and His ways with purpose of heart and depend no more on mere flesh and blood. Alas, alas, it was quite the opposite with me. I had learned to pray. I set some value upon the Word of God. I was no longer a libertine. But my soul still cleaved to the dust. Soon after my departure from Liverpool, I began to grow slack in waiting upon the Lord. I fell into trivial conversation. Though my heart rebuked me often, my armor was gone, and I declined quickly. By the time I arrived at Guinea, I seemed to have forgotten all the Lord's mercies. profaneness accepted. I was almost as bad as before. The enemy prepared a train of temptations, and I became his easy prey. For about a month he lulled me asleep in a course of evil of which, a few months before, I could not have supposed myself any longer capable. Take heed, Hebrews 3:13, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin first deceives, and then it hardens. I was now fast bound in chains. I had little desire, no power at all to free myself. I would at times reflect on my condition, but if I attempted to struggle, it was in vain. I was just like Samson when he said, I will go forth and shake myself, as at other times, Judges 16:20. But the Lord was departed, and he was helpless in the hands of his enemies. In recalling this period, the Lord has often reminded me what a poor creature I am in myself, incapable of standing a single hour without continual fresh supplies of strength and grace from the fountainhead. At length, the Lord, whose mercies are infinite, intervened on my behalf. My business in this voyage, while along the coast, was to sail from place to place in the longboat to purchase slaves. The ship was at Sierra Leone, and I was then at the plantains, the scene of my former captivity. I was in comfortable circumstances, courted by those who had formerly despised me. The lime trees I had planted were growing tall. They promised fruit the following year, at which time I expected to return with a ship of my own. But none of these things affected me until the Lord again intervened to save me. He visited me with a violent fever, which broke the fatal chain and once more brought me to myself. Oh, but oh, what an experience! My past dangers and deliverances, my earnest prayers in the time of trouble, my solemn vows before the Lord at his table, my ungrateful returns for all his goodness, were all brought to my mind at once. I began to wish that the Lord had allowed me to sink into the ocean when I first sought his mercy. For a little while I concluded that the door of hope was shut. But this continued for only a short while. Weak and almost delirious, I arose from my bed and crept to a secluded part of the island. There I found a renewed liberty to pray. I made no more resolutions, but cast myself before the Lord to do with me as he should please. I do not remember that any particular text or remarkable discovery was presented to my mind, but in general, I was enabled to hope and believe in a crucified Savior. The burden was removed from my conscience, and not only my peace, but my health was restored. I cannot say it was instantaneous, but I began to recover from that hour. When I returned to the ship 2 days afterward, I was perfectly well before I got on board. From that time since, I trust I have been delivered from the power and dominion of sin. As to the effects and conflicts of sin dwelling in me, I still groan, being burdened, 2 Corinthians 5:4. I now began again to wait upon the Lord. I have often grieved his spirit and foolishly wandered from him since. When, alas, shall I be more wise? His powerful grace, however, has preserved me from such black declines as I have just recorded. I humbly trust in his mercy and promises that he will be my guide and guard to the end. My leisure hours in this voyage were chiefly employed in learning Latin, which I had now entirely forgot. And this desire was sparked by seeing one of Horace's lyric poems in a magazine. That's Horace, the Roman poet. By concerted effort, often waking when I might have slept, I made some progress before I returned. I not only understood the sense and meaning of many poems and some of the epistles, but also began to relish the beauties of the composition. I acquired a spice of what Mr. Law calls classical enthusiasm. Indeed, I had Horace more in my mind than some who are masters of the Latin language. My resources were so few that I generally had the passage fixed in my memory before I could fully understand its meaning. During the 8 months we were on the coast, I was exposed to innumerable dangers and perils, from the burning sun and chilling dews, from winds and thunderstorms, in the open boat and on shore, from long journeys through the woods and the disposition of the natives, who are in many places cruel, treacherous, and watching for opportunities for mischief. Several boats in that time were cut off, and several white men poisoned. In my own boat I buried 6 or 7 people with fevers. When going on shore or returning in the little canoes, I have been more than once or twice overturned by the violence of the surf or ocean waves. I was brought to land half dead, for I could not swim. An account of the escapes I still remember would swell to several pages, and many more I have perhaps forgotten. I shall select only one instance as a specimen of that wonderful providence that watched over me. When our trade was finished, and we were near sailing to the West Indies, the only remaining service I had to perform in the boat was to assist in bringing the wood and water from the shore. We were then at Rio Cestores. I used to go up the river in the afternoon with a sea breeze, procure my cargo in the evening, and return on board in the morning with the land wind. Several of these little voyages I had made, but the boat was old and almost unfit for use. One day, having dined on board, I was preparing to return to the river. As usual, I had taken leave of the captain, received his orders, was ready in the boat, and just going to let go of our ropes and sail from the ship. In that instant, the captain came up from the cabin and called me on board again. I went, expecting further orders, but he said that I should remain that day in the ship. He ordered another man to go in my place. I was surprised at this, since the boat had never been sent away without me before. I asked him the reason, but he could give me no reason but that is as he would have it. Accordingly, the boat went without me and never returned. She sank that night in the river, and the person who had taken my place was drowned. I was greatly affected when we received news of the event the next morning. The captain himself, a stranger to religion, could not help being affected. He declared that he had no other reason for countermanding me at that time, but that it came suddenly into his mind to detain me. Amen. End of chapter 10. Chapter 11 will be marriage and the command of a ship. So he's finally going to marry her. Oh boy, come next time. Thank you for listening, and please look around the site. We have over 3,000 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, persecution stories from North Korea in English and in Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. If you desire more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel, known as Pasture Lands, or buy one of my books at Amazon.com, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll share details of our local ministry, our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men, and our Tuesday noon meeting for men and women. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on the 16th of May, 2022, and Lord willing, we will talk again real soon. Bye-bye.